Be thankful for the word.
Oh, yes.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You understand there is no situation that comes up in life that the Spirit of God and the Word of God can't help you get out of.
That's right. That is right. Amen.
There isn't a situation. Right. And if you would this morning, turn with me to 3 John, the book of 3 John. Hallelujah. Father, we're so grateful this morning for your word. We're so thankful for the presence of the Spirit that's with us right now. Lord, we ask you to open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to see and know you in a better way. And Father, help us to minister all that needs to be said and nothing that shouldn't be said. We're so thankful for the help of the Spirit. We're so thankful that you can enlighten to the people things that aren't even said verbally, but that you can help and strengthen and build up those of us that are here. In amen. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory. 3 John, verse 2, says this, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul."
Amen.
This is a popular verse, if I could say it that way. You might see it on the bottom of a note card. You know, if you buy a Christian card or something like that, you'll see this verse pop up in different ways and different things. But I was just struck with this verse this week. You know, this is John writing this, and he'd been with the Lord Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He walked with him, talked with him. He reclined on his breast the night before, or the night he was taken to be crucified.
Mm-hmm.
John called himself the disciple whom the Lord loved.
Yeah, amen.
He had a revelation of the love of God, the love that Jesus had for him.
Amen.
So much so that that's how he introduced himself in the Bible. You know, forever written. John was a man that could not be killed, meaning that they tried to kill him several times because of his faith.
Mm-hmm.
Throughout, it's documented, it's proven, it's studied out. They tried to boil him in oil, I believe it was. Terrible things, you know, that they used to do. And he wouldn't die. He did not die. They could not kill him. They tried with terrible things. And so they exiled him to an island.
Yeah.
The island Patmos has said, get him out. Maybe if we just get him away from everything. So what happens? He writes the book of Revelation.
Right. Amen.
Praise God. John knew. And the book of Revelation, it starts off with, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
He knew how to enter into a place in God.
Yeah, amen.
Even after the Lord Jesus exited this earth and the Holy Spirit came and indwelt him,
yeah.
he became practiced, well-versed
mm-hmm.
in this love and this relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
And this John, this man, is the one who wrote this. I pray. I pray for y'all.
Yeah.
That it may go well with you. And that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul.
Amen.
Meaning, how our daily actions look and how our health looks, how our bodily response is connected to how our soul, our inner man, prospers.
That's right.
What our inner man is learning. I was talking earlier about the fact that, you know, I knew that other gal was going to surpass me in her spiritual walk if I didn't pick up the pace, because I was coasting in my walk. I was just doing the Christian thing to do and not feeding my spirit and not continuing to develop the relationship. Mm-hmm. And therefore, my soul wasn't prospering. Amen. And eventually, everybody say eventually.
Eventually.
Eventually, that shows up in your outer life.
That's right.
For some of us, sooner than others.
Yeah.
You know, but that's a blessing when things in our life don't start lining up with what we see in the Word. It's time for us. We should, like that when that gal was talking to me and say, you know, telling me all that God was showing her, and I realized God hasn't shown me anything in months. You know, I'm just living. I'm just doing life. And we should take note of that right away. Thank God for the Spirit who helps us.
Amen.
And prompts us. But life should not be a coast.
That's right.
And it shouldn't be declining.
Amen.
We shouldn't be declining. We should be growing. The Bible talks about moving from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength to strength.
Amen.
You might say, well, my body's getting older. I don't care. The Bible says, even though the outward man is decaying, the inward man is renewed day by day.
Amen.
And your inner man, your soul prospering, is what dictates and helps your outer man live.
Yep. Amen.
Full of the life of God.
Yes.
And you can look at, you know, you can wake up and feel like there's arthritis in every joint, and you can say, oh no you don't, because the life of God's in me. So sorry, arthritis, or as our friend Brother Philip says, Arthur, uh-huh. You're gonna have to go.
Right.
You're gonna have to go, because there's the life of God in me. But let's take notice, and as Christians, we don't want to get on a coast.
Amen.
Because, you know, someone says this, you know, coasting is just coming to a standstill very slowly. Life is full of ups and downs, like we said. There's ebbs and flows, but we need to catch these things before we coast to a stop.
That's right.
Because we all see what happens to people when they do that. You stop coming to church, then you stop living for God.
Yep.
The next thing you know, you find yourself depressed. You find yourself taking medicine for things that you never thought you'd have to take it for.
Yep.
Things spiral, and they can spiral quick before you even realize. But thank God for the Spirit of God.
Yes.
So John said this. John said, I'm praying for you.
Yes.
I'm lifting you up. What did he pray? That your soul would prosper.
Yeah,
that your inner man would get it.
Mm-hmm.
This reminds me very much of Ephesians, where Paul said, I pray, I don't cease to pray for you all, that you would see and know, that your eyes would be enlightened, that you would understand the things that God has blessed you with.
That's right.
So that you could walk in them.
Amen.
And so the King James Version, it says this, and of course I kind of grew up with King James more than ESV, so I like this one. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health. That's what it means to be, that it may be well with you, to prosper. It's not a bad word. That you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And I'm going a little slow here, but it's on purpose.
No, it's good.
It's on purpose, because sometimes we skim over these verses, especially ones that are on the bottom of note cards.
Yeah, amen.
You know, or written on a, I don't know if this one's on a coffee mug, it might be too long for a coffee mug, but you know what I'm saying? We've heard it so many times that we don't really process, this man was serious. I'm praying for you guys. I wish above all things that you'd get this. Why? Because Jesus died so that we could prosper and be in health.
That's right. Praise Amen. God. Amen.
He paid an awesome price. Amen. So we could live not just a life of luxury. You know what I'm saying? People think when you say prosper, they're talking about, you know, I don't know, an $8 million castle with in Aspen. $8 million is not going to get you anything. So you'd need like $27 million or something. but you know, a reasonable castle for $8 million, right? You know, that's what people think about you know, prosperity. No. Prospering just means succeeding.
Succeeding. Amen.
It literally means, this word prosper means to succeed in reaching. Meaning when God shows you, I've got that for you, you succeed in reaching for it and pulling it in. To succeed in, that's what God wants for every Christian, to succeed in reaching. How do we do that? Our inner man has to prosper.
Yes.
Our inner man has to grow to the point where we see what God wants us to have. We know how to get it. And we, by faith, are able to pull it in.
Yeah, amen.
The thought that God, and we started in the offering by reading Malachi 3, right? Where God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. That is Old Testament. But so many New Testament believers, Christians, they think that someday I'm going to win the heavenly lottery. And I've sowed enough. If they'll just tithe enough.
Oh wow.
You know, if I'll just tithe for 10 years, when I hit that one magic number, and God says, I see your heart, I see your faithfulness, I'm gonna throw open the window of heaven and I'm just gonna pour some money on you. That's not how God works. In the New Testament, this is how it works.
That's
your
right.
Inner man.
Amen.
Takes in the things of God, receives the word of God, sees what he's really saying to us, and our eyes are open and saying, God, you have that for me. I receive it. You've provided all things for me that pertain to my life and to godliness. And you spend time in his presence and you start to, your inner man starts to grab hold of all that he's already provided.
Yes.
And by faith, you say, thank you, Father. I take that to myself. And you walk out of your prayer closet. You walk out of your relationship time with him, talking to him. Mm-hmm. And you've got what my husband ministered on, joy and peace. In the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Knowing that what he's shown you is yours. Why? Because your inner man has already received it. You've already prospered in here. Ooh, this is already different than I thought it would be.
So good.
I wish, I pray above all things that you would prosper, that you would succeed in reaching.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Another translation of that word prosper, it means help on the road.
Help on the road.
Help on the road. Now we travel a lot on the road, and you need help sometimes on the road. You need extra money when you're traveling. You guys just got back from a family reunion, right? They drove to Texas. Texas is a big state. And even though they were in the upper corner of Texas, it's still a long drive. What? You need help on the road. You need angels to kick somebody out of a hotel room so you've got a place to stay. You need money to get, to fill your tank or to fly where you're needing to go. You need help on the road. That's what this word means. He wants you to have help when you're on the road of life. He wants you to have success when you're on the road of life. How does that happen? Your inner man must prosper first. Your inner man must open up to receive these things. Why are we talking about this? Well, 2 weeks ago, I ministered on the tithe, which is important. And we need to know those things. And we need to tithe. That's However, right. I've known Christians who have tithed their entire life and still have never prospered.
Wow.
Now, their needs have been met. God has taken care of them. But they've never progressed. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They've never progressed. Mm-hmm. I want to say it nicely. That's just not God's plan.
Not God's plan.
Not all of us in this room are going to leave this earth with $1 million in the bank. You understand what I'm saying? It's not that God's saying everyone's supposed to be a millionaire or something like that, but there should be progression in our life.
That's right.
And you might think, well, since I've started really committing to God and serving God, things have gone down. Well, there's a proving time for everything. I mean, the children of Israel had to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land.
That's right.
The problem was when they got to the promised land, they decided, I don't think we really want to go in there. And so they themselves wound up stuck in the wilderness for 40 years. They did it to themselves and they never progressed. The whole generation had to die out before they could then move into the promised land and actually progress.
Right.
But that was never God's plan. It was never his design, his desire.
Right.
He wanted them to boogie on through, to get to where they needed to go, and to go in and take it.
That's right.
But the children of Israel didn't have on the inside of them what they needed to prosper on the outside. This is good today.
That's right.
Even if I didn't plan to say it.
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, glory. I'm going to read this verse to you in the Weiss translation. We don't have it here, so just listen. Beloved, in all things, I am praying that you will be prospering and that you will be continually having good health as your soul is prospering.
Amen.
Prospering. We love the Weiss translation because it gives us the real meaning of the Greek, which is very often a continual verb. That you will be prospering, that you will be continuing to be in good health. You know, it gives you that idea that this is not just a one-time thing where you say, okay, I've done it, I'm at the level I need to be. No, as a matter of fact, as soon as you get to a certain level that you were believing for, God's going to say, okay, but there's more. Now I need you to do this and believe for that and bring in this. And you're like, oh, boy, super. But that's okay because God's desire for us is that we continually succeed in reaching, that we continually progress, that we continually move forward and move upward. And you might say, well, my life doesn't look like that. Well, it can tomorrow.
That's right. Amen.
Right? We can take a hold of this today. And when I was in Bible school, we had a class called Giving and Receiving. We learned some amazing truths that we pass along to you throughout the years.
Yes.
But in that class, our teacher said, we were tithers and said we were doing what we knew to do. He said, but we were just broke, he said. he said you wanted to go across town to see a movie, but I didn't have money for a movie ticket. So I didn't have money to fill up my gas tank to get across town, He said, you wanted to help somebody when they were stepping out in ministry, but, you're looking at your crumpled up $5 bill. I mean, this was back a few decades ago, but he said, you're looking at that and you're thinking, okay, this can either go in my gas tank Or it can go to, you know, that person, and which one is it supposed to be?
Right.
And so you do that, and you're like, oh, and he finally got with the Father and said, Lord, what's the deal? What's going on? Why am I not prospering? And he said the Lord just started to show him things in his heart.
Yeah. Amen.
That needed to be changed. Things that needed to be tweaked.
Amen.
And so the reason we're looking at this verse, and I believe for the next few weeks at least, we'll see what the Spirit has us do.
Yeah.
But I wanted to minister to you all, and I've spent most of the time this morning introducing this, but wanted to minister to you all on what my husband would call prosperity killers.
Yeah.
Things that can kill your prosperity. Now, those of you that have been around a little bit, you know my husband has a book called Prosperity Killers.
That's right.
We laugh. We call it our horror book, because on the front of it there's a big knife with you know, little knife with blood on it, you know. And so anyway, in that book he lists 10, 12 different prosperity killers. These are things that you would think would be something that praise the Lord. You would think that they would be things that, you know, are outward. Things that you didn't invest this way, the correct way, or you didn't do this the right way, or things like that. But no, prosperity killers for the Christian are all inside. They're all internal.
Amen.
Right? Why? Because with the New Testament believer, everything is a matter of the heart.
Amen.
Everything is a matter of your heart. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Everybody's good, right?
We're good.
Everybody
glory.
Good. Yeah.
We're with you, Pastor.
Praise God. So if we could, we do have enough time to get this started. Turn with me to Numbers this morning.
Praise the Lord.
We're going to look at a few different places that we need to just take an internal check and make sure that we're keeping things in order.
Amen.
Why? You know, you don't need everything in your body to go wrong to put you in bed.
Good.
Right? To disable you.
That's right.
I mean, if your ankle goes out, you're not going to walk well.
True.
You know, just one part of your body in disobedience to the rest of the function of the body,
right,
is going to cause problems. And people might think, well, I'm a tither. Why am I not blessed? Well, it's not just tithing.
That's right.
Right?
That's
it's not just an action of writing a check for 10%.
That's right.
And so there's some internal things that we want to check to make sure that our soul is prospering, that we're thinking according to what the scriptures say. And if we can make sure that these are okay and correct ourselves when we see there's something a little off, I say this all the time, I'm not mad at anybody. Mm-hmm. And I'm not pointing fingers at anybody. I just want us all to prosper.
That's right.
And to be in good health.
Amen.
As our soul prospers.
Amen.
Just like John. I mean, John, oh my gosh, I guess because I'm a pastor, you just get that heart, like you just want people to get it.
Right. Amen.
You know, to succeed in what they're doing, to get to where their heart is taking them.
Amen.
And these things can help us by revealing maybe an area that we didn't think was a big deal, but to God is a big deal.
That's right.
All right?
Amen.
So as usual,
amen.
I'm going to start with a subject that my husband didn't even really, well, he did write about it, but he didn't put a chapter in there for it. So here's another one, if you've read that before. Pull out Prosperity Killers. If you don't have it, pull it out and read through it again. Everyone's looking at me like, oh God, another reading assignment. It's okay. It won't hurt you.
That's right. Amen.
It won't hurt you. It won't even kill you. Yeah, pull it out. And if you don't have it, we have some here you can purchase, or you can download it for free. If you want to download it on an iPad or something like that, you can do that. Mm-hmm. But read through it. Why? Because we want to get these things. Amen. We want to understand these things. And did you turn to Numbers as I'm talking? Because I'm losing my place. Where did I tell you? Numbers. Oh, well, that's very helpful, isn't it? Numbers 11 is where we're going. Thank you, Father, for your help.
Amen.
All right, forget it. I had my notes, and now they're not here. Numbers 11. Okay, verse 1. Doesn't start off good. Numbers 11, verse 1 says, "And the people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes."
That's right.
Now, let me give you a little context here. They had just been delivered out of Egyptian slavery that had lasted for 400 years. That's where we're at. They had just come out. They are now free. And this is what we get from the whole nation of Israel. The people, what?
Complained.
Oh, you can say it louder than that. The people
complained.
I'm sure you've never done this. God's put you in a new place. God's blessed you. God's helped you. And all you can see is what's not right. Like I said, I am not preaching. I'm preaching to myself. Glory to God. Keep me straight. The people complained in the hearing of the Lord about their misfortunes. And when the Lord heard it, which means he does hear what comes out of your mouth, even when you're complaining to yourself or to your friends.
That's right.
When the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some outlying parts of the camp. Then the people cried out to Moses, "Help! Oh my gosh, Moses, do something!" And Moses prayed to the Lord, and the fire died down. So the name of that place was called Taberah because the fire of the Lord burned among them. And it says, now the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. Everybody say strong craving.
Strong craving.
Where do cravings come from? Is it the flesh. The flesh. Not your spirit, right? The flesh. In the message, you don't have to turn there, but for that word rabble, it calls it the riffraff.
Uh-oh.
I like that.
Uh-oh.
The riffraff, meaning the people on the edge that you really shouldn't be listening to. Right? The people that think they have an opinion on Facebook, praise the Lord, but really should be putting the phone down.
That's right.
Come on. The rabble that was among them had a strong craving, a lust of the flesh. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat."
Yeah.
Mind you, they've been in the wilderness for a little bit. And there's been manna, heavenly food, every day for them to eat.
Yes.
But like all of us, if we have to eat the same thing for more than 2 days in a row, not our inner man, but our flesh can start to talk. And if we're not careful, we'll be the riffraff that starts complaining. "So that we had meat to eat, we remember," "we remember the fish we ate in" where? I'm sorry, when they were slaves? They don't remember the slavery part, the beating on the back. They don't remember the fact that they had to build pyramids. out of hay? They don't remember that, but they do remember the fish that they ate in Egypt that cost nothing. Just their lives. Cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and of course, the garlic. But now our strength is dried up and there's nothing at all but this manna. We're talking this morning about prosperity killers. And I present to you that one of the prosperity killers out there is complaining, griping, whining about a place that God placed you. I'm going to look straight ahead. Why? Because we've all been to a place where we want to do that. Anytime you step out with God, there's going to be tests. There's going to be challenges. God's going to allow you to go through some testing time. He did allow the children of Israel to go through the wilderness. This is before they reached the promised land. They were already complaining. The problem is they never passed the test. Because the next chapter they complain. The next chapter they complain. The next chapter they complain. Didn't occur to them that the fire of the Lord started burning up the sides of the camp. Didn't occur to them that, you know, this is actually miracle food we're eating every day. And that he was sustaining us in this time of need miraculously. This is so huge to God, because if we don't look at things correctly,
right,
we'll never prosper, meaning we'll never reach the fulfillment of what we're supposed to reach.
Amen.
And we see that with the Israelites.
Yeah.
These Israelites that were alive here never reached the promised land.
Wow.
They never got in to a land that's flowing with milk and honey, where the fruit was so large it took two men to carry one cluster of grapes.
That's right.
God was not withholding his goodness and his prosperity for them, but their complaining and their griping and their whining about the miraculous provision they had at the moment on their way to the promised land kept them in the wilderness.
Oh dear.
It kept them from their prosperity. It kept them from their success. Our prosperity is linked to our inner prosperity. Our inner prosperity can never progress if we're always looking at the negative and always speaking the negative. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
I mean, we know that, and yet, check up on what we're saying to our parents on the phone, to our friend at work, right?
Mm-hmm.
To different ones that we're talking to. Now, I come from champion complainers. A family of, I mean, just world champion complainers. My husband's family, they're top performers as well in this particular subject. You know, several of them now are born again, and thank God, and they've veered from that way. But I mean, we used to go out with my husband's family sometimes to a restaurant, and there'd be, you know, 10 or 12 of us, and they would literally, they'd complain about the meal the whole time we were there, about the service, because the service was never good enough.
Oh, yeah.
And then they would spend most of the meal arguing with one another about who was going to complain to the server about the service.
Oh.
No, let me do it. Let me talk to them. And why were they doing that? Because then maybe they'd get 10% off their meal.
Oh.
I mean, seriously, that's kind of the way it was. And then you don't even want to be at my aunt's house at Christmas time. Oh my goodness. The food is awesome. My husband would love to. We'll go, we eat dinner, and then we're gone. Because the conversation afterwards, especially after people have had a few, I mean, it's let's complain about the government. Let's complain about the town. Let's complain about this. Let's complain about that. Let's complain. Why? Because if we're complaining, then we don't have to take stock for where we are now. It's always somebody else's fault. Praise the Lord.
Wow.
God's not big on the blame shifting thing. Mm-mm. And in America, we're champions at it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
It's always somebody else's fault.
Yeah.
Wow.
If you're on the poverty level, it's somebody else's fault. The rich really should be giving to the poor, and then I wouldn't be poor. If somebody's rich, it's the government's fault. They shouldn't be taking taxes to give to somebody else. You know, no matter who you are, no matter what color your skin is, no matter what economic status you fall into, whatever tax bracket you are, if you're always going to take the blame game, that it's always somebody else's fault, that you're not further along in life,
yep,
then you don't qualify for godly prosperity.
Oh, wow.
Even if you're a tither. God sustained the children of Israel in the wilderness.
Yeah.
He provided. It says that for 40 years, their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes never got holes in them. They were walking in the desert. It's hot there. Have you ever walked in hot sand? Their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. That's amazing. That's miraculous, right? But it's still just sustaining. Ladies, 40 years with the same pair of shoes?
No, thanks.
Oh, I don't care if they don't wear out. I'm getting rid of them and getting a new pair. Think about it. They took with them out of Egypt all the riches. They took out gold and silver and clothing.
Right.
And yet they had no real use for it. They were trudging through the desert for 40 years.
Right.
You might as well put on your old shoes to walk through that hot sand. Why? Because they didn't arrive at the destination God had for them to enjoy those things.
That's right. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Right.
I don't want to be in the category of the complainer.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God will still sustain us, but he can't prosper us and help us.
That's right.
Beloved, I wish above all things.
Above
everything else, I wish, I pray that you'll prosper.
Yes.
That you'll succeed in what you reach for.
Amen.
And that you'd be in health as your soul prospers.
Amen.
As you hear these things, as you make the corrections, as you keep your heart right towards God. What's a right heart? Lord, we're eating manna again, but I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful there's different ways to cook it. We can have manna cake. We can have manna pancakes. Manna bread. You know, I mean, it's the heart adjustment. God, I don't see everything, but you do. And so I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful for where you put me. I'm thankful for where we're going. I'm thankful that you've already provided all things for me that pertain to life and godliness. I thank you that I'm a covenant tither. And I thank you, Father, that you said in your word, you want me to prosper and to be in health as my soul prospers. And so, Lord, if there's something in my soul, in my inner man that doesn't qualify for prosperity, show me. Teach me, enlighten me, help me to make the correction.
That's right.
When your heart says things like that, when words like this come out, even if you, it's just a habit. You know, complaining's a bad habit. It's a bad habit.
Yes, it is.
But it can be a habit. My natural family can be in the habit of complaining. There can be 9 things great about the situation, but they're going to find the 10th thing that's bad.
That's right.
And talk about that. Praise the Lord. So I know from where I'm talking about.
Yep. Amen.
When our heart is right, when we want to prosper and do what God wants us to do, when we start to say the wrong thing, the Spirit will prompt us.
That's right.
Down in here, you'll realize, oh, shouldn't say that.
Right.
And for some of us who aren't in the habit of looking to the Spirit for everything that's coming out of our mouth, you might get home and lay in bed that night and think about the conversation that happened that day and think, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Oh,
all I was doing was complaining about that. That wasn't right. And that's fine. You can repent right there to the Lord. What he's looking for is your heart. He's looking that your soul prospers, that you're interested in doing things the way he wants you to do them. Again, he's not up there with the fly swatter just saying, oh, she complained, bam! No, but you can get to the point where when something's about to come out of your lips, the Spirit arrests you.
Yes.
And you go, I'm going to go use the restroom.
Yeah.
You know, whatever was about to come out of your mouth, you catch it.
That's right.
And you change it. You tweak it. Praise the Lord. Is this helping us this morning?
Yes.
It's just a reminder because these things can be habits from our past.
Yes.
I have to be careful. If I get around my family or if I'm talking to them on the phone, if I'm not careful, I'll fall right back into what they're doing it. Why? Because it's comfortable.
Yep.
They know that speak. You know, they know that language. And so I can connect with them there if I start complaining like they do.
Yeah.
And then they don't think I'm weird, I'm out of place, what's wrong with you? The glass is always half full, but it's always supposed to be half empty. You know, but it doesn't matter what they think. It matters about my soul prosperity.
That's right.
And so sometimes it's just a matter of not saying much at all.
Yep. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Love you.
That's right.
But gotta go. You know?
Yep. Yep. Amen.
And that's unfortunately for our extended families, at least, you know, that is the way we are. And they just shake their head and scratch their, you know, they don't understand. They're just, that's Joel and Amy. They just do their thing, you know? But, you know, when I saw my family, and I will close. Sorry, I'm going a little bit long. When I saw my family this summer, it was amazing because everyone else had aged so much. You know, because, of course, we didn't see them for a good year and a half with COVID and everything else. And then just us being in Colorado, them all being in New York, we don't get back that often to see everybody. These were funerals, so we saw everybody. And I can't tell you, almost every single person that we saw from our past came up and said, you guys look great.
Amen. Yep.
I said, well, it's not Botox. It's not. No, what is it? It's the life of God.
Yes.
And you want to say to them, get a clue.
Yes. Amen.
Get a clue. You can prosper and be in health and look good in your 50s and your 60s and your 70s. Glory to God.
Right.
You can be strong and
Amen.
Fulfill the plan of God for your life if your soul will prosper.
Yes.
Glory to God. Why don't you stand to your feet
Amen.
This morning? Praise God.
Praise
we
God.
Are going to succeed.
Yes.
In reaching. We're going to have a successful journey. We
yes.
have help.
Amen.
on the road. Yes. Glory to God. Father, thank you today. Thank you for your goodness and your mercy, and thank you for helping us as we get on the road today. Father, as we go out and live our lives, thank you for teaching us and showing us places that we need to adjust. Yes. Things that we need to change, or just help keep our mouths aligned with what you say.
That's right.
We thank you for the helper. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody say, help on the road.
Help on the road.
Glory to God. Amen. You're dismissed. Help.